What up, though? It is another Tuesday. This is Knockouts and Three Counts, and man, do we got a show for you tonight. Before this man gets added at Karate Combat Kickback 2, we've got the return of our guy, the heavyweight champ, Smiling Sam Alvey, talking about all things Karate Combat. But before I get to that, I got to tell you about our sponsors. You know how we roll out here. Check out this commercial from our boys over at Potter's Tree Service. If you are in the need for tree trimming, tree removal, walnut logging, storm damage cleanup, tree trimming, and anything else tree related, our guys at Potter's Tree Service got you together. Check out Asa Potter and all the guys. All the links for that are in our description, and enjoy the show. Check out all their info and tell them Knockouts and Three Counts sent you.
This is the Ring of Honor, a.k.a. Shane T, boy, the baddest champion you ever seen, boy.
This is Mr. Anderson.
This is good old JR Jim Ross, and you are listening.
You're listening to Knockouts and Three Counts.
Cover! Cover!
We got a cover world champion!
That might be one of the craziest knockouts I've ever seen in my life.
Knockouts and Three Counts is the podcast leading to the real deal, baby.
Knockouts and Three Counts starts now.
Ooh, what up, though? Like I said, it is another Tuesday, and man, I ain't gonna lie. If I could trade places right now with tonight's guest, Sam Alvey, getting ready to head out to Mexico, man, I'm not gonna lie. That sounds a lot better than the weather we got in Detroit, but man, you're getting ready to go over there and handle some business, man. Appreciate the time. Thanks for coming back on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I actually got here this afternoon. I landed about 11 a.m., so I've been enjoying Mexico. Tennessee is nice where I'm from. But it's nice you're here.
So, what was the first thing you did off the plane, man?
I waited at customs for like an hour and a half, so it was pretty exciting.
Hell yeah! Exactly what I had on my list getting to somewhere like Mexico.
And those rotten guys. Now I know you're not supposed to bring stuff into the country, but I figured I might be able to try. So I brought in I had ground turkey and peppers and all that. They spiked all of it. They didn't get. Anything go through. And first time I've been all over the world. First time customs has ever opened my bag and gone through it. They're doing it with everyone. It's ridiculous. Now I got to call up old food while I'm here.
It was like some meal prep thing you had going on heading into the fight.
Yeah, I knew what I wanted to eat this week, and so I made it all up yesterday. And I was just in a little Tupperware getting ready to go.
Come on, guys, man's got to eat. It's fight week.
Especially when you ain't got to cut that weight no more.
Nah. Oh, I do too. I got 20 pounds to go.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Karate Combat's heavyweight is 205.
Okay. Now that makes sense. All right. I'm thinking heavyweight. I'm like, man, there is no way you're walking around at 265 right now. I don't give a shit what you tell me.
Yeah, no, I'm at about 222-ish right now.
Dude, that's crazy because I know the last time we talked to you, you were telling us about life after the UFC. You were talking about, fighting over in B2 Fighting Series and all that stuff as well. So before we get to what you're doing over here in Karate Combat, champ, talk to me a little bit about your run post-UFC and now, kind of finding your way. And now you've made a name for yourself in a whole new venue.
Yeah. So, I mean, I left the UFC, and I had so many people that, oh, you're going to fight. It's going to be great. We got fights for you. And then I said, okay, let's do it. I'll fight whoever, whenever, whenever. BKFC, they kept putting me off. Nobody would fight me. I accepted on 2 weeks' notice, on Christmas Day, I accepted a fight in Russia, and they turned me down. I could not get a fight anywhere. So I talked to my friends over at B2. I said, guys, is there any way I could die? Is there any way I could fight you? I said, we got someone, if you're willing to fight heavyweight. So my first fight out of the UFC, I was fighting some guy who's like 270 pounds. Big boy. Hey, I had a good time doing it. Got the TKO. And then I came across Karate Combat. And I just fell in love with them from the first show. So I started messaging with them, trying to get them to say, offer me a fight. And it came. They gave me the fight offer. I went down to the Dominican Republic on kind of short notice. Won, got the contract, won the title of my next fight. Now it's my first title defense. It has been a crazy 6 months.
I love it. I got some Karate Combat highlights on right now. Very very unique, but very how do we say it? It's almost like an homage to the sport, you know, of martial arts.
It is. It is so much faster paced than UFC or MMA in general. It's faster paced than boxing. Now, I love wrestling, I love jiu-jitsu and all that, but anyone that tells you it's not the boring part of the fight is full of time. When the fight hits the ground, everyone's like, okay. I mean, there's some cool stuff that can happen, but it doesn't. And the threat of the takedown keeps the fighters from really opening up. And Karate Combat just took that away. So, all right, you can't double leg anyone. And now it's all, if you're going to get someone down, it's going to be a big throw. It's going to be a big squeeze. It's going to be an intense move. And so everybody gets to open up. They get to spin. They get to kick. They get to jump. And they get to play with the pit. I fell, before I was a member of Karate Combat's roster, I fell in love with the sport. It is, I have not missed one since, shoot, it's been more than a year now.
So talk to me a little bit about that, dude. That is something that's really interesting to me, too, is that, like, the difference in the rule sets. Like, was there any big change for you there when it comes to, hey, you can't fight on the ground like that? But that's something that you utilized really well, even in the title fight, and being able to land damage when you had him up against the wall, almost in, like, the mount position like that. So what are the biggest differences you've had in the striking game over there in Karate Combat?
I haven't had to worry about sprawling. That's really the big one. I've been able to walk forwards as much as I wanted to in the UFC. I've got good hands and slow feet. I should be the guy that's walking forwards, but with the threat of that shot, the threat of jiu-jitsu being there, I've always been the counter-striker, backing up, keeping my foot against the cage. Now with that pit, I do not want my foot against that cage. Now if I fall over on that cage, it's where TKOs happen real quickly.
Dude, and that's something that's so interesting, too. So, like, obviously with you guys having the pit, it's obviously different than fighting in a cage or fighting in a ring, and how you have the element of the pit. Do you think for somebody like you that's coming over from MMA that's something that maybe you can utilize that maybe not everybody is really used to, because you're used to fighting in a cage where it seems like some of these guys are so just straight karate-based or stand-up-based? To where when you're getting them in positions like that, where you're able to utilize the wall and use those shots where you're there, do you think that's something that you're going to be able to continue to exploit?
This pit, the Karate Combat, it is a cheat code for Smiling Sam. This is like the rule set for Karate Combat was designed for me to have that title for as long as I wanted. People will figure it out. People will learn that pit as well as I have already. But they haven't yet, and I'm going to keep taking advantage of it. I'm going to play with it. I'm going to get better with it. I'm going to invent more stuff with that pit. It is the 45-degree slant is just where I am now home more than ever before.
Well, dude, now that you're in Karate Combat, you've had the couple fights, you got now you're the champ. I mean, talk to me a little bit about the growing roster there, too, because one thing that really sticks out to me with Karate Combat that's been cool is, like, the venues that they're choosing, number one, are really cool because they're really different than anything else you've ever really seen in fighting-wise. And, I mean, we just had Ben Henderson and Anthony Pettis freaking fight again, which, again, being, like, the old head as I am as far as MMA goes, you could have them fight 100 times and I'd be cool with it. But I'm saying.
I know, right? Oh, man. Karate Combat, I say it was when they signed me, they started exploding. They've been around since about 2016. But when they signed me, they said, all right, we are going to compete with every other organization out there. We are going to be the next up-and-coming sport. And it is so much fun. That the striking is so much cleaner than bare-knuckle boxing. The speed is so much faster than the UFC. And I'm just having a blast watching it. The one thing that it is missing, and they've started correcting, is the recognition of the fighters. It is such a new sport that you don't, there'll be a fight card, you'll know the main event, maybe the co-main event, but then you start losing track because it's a newer sport. When they're bringing in the Anthony Pettises, the Smiling Sams, the guy I'm fighting, Antonio Arroyo, who is a UFC vet. They're bringing in these names that people will be able to recognize and tune in to watch because of it. And so Karate Combat is making all of the right moves, and I'm so happy to be part of it. Not only part of it, leading the way.
Leading it. No, I'll tell you what, I got some stuff on. I'm just watching the production of it all. It's very, very unique. I don't know where the Pettis and Henderson fight was held, but it looks like it's on a damn spaceship.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was in a warehouse in downtown Las Vegas. I mean, it was like the least impressive place I've ever actually fought. It was nice. It was comfortable. We had big warm-up rooms, but there's nothing special about it. And then you see it on TV, and they've got you're on the moon, you're on an asteroid, they've had cards where they're on Coruscant before. They've had cards where they're on the moon. It is so cool, the production value they put into it. It's really, it is one of the next steps. That is where they are leading the way. They are leading every other organization by making it look as nice as they are.
It almost gives it like an underground feel, the way the pit
totally, is. Dude.
And you know what I mean? It's freaking cool.
We're fighting at eye level. I mean, there's not a bouncy in the house. I love fighting in a cage, but it has always been hard to watch a fight in a cage. And everybody does it. When you go to a cage fight, everybody looks up at the monitor.
Yeah.
That's where they watch the fight. Rings have been easier to watch because there's, you know, less obstruction. And then the pit is there is nothing in front of you. It's just me and then the people that are fighting. It is so much fun.
Well, dude, and you guys have got the Machida brothers over there too. That's another thing that was crazy to me, dude. Like, obviously, again, whatever, say what you want. We just got to chat with Sugar Rashad Evans on the show, and he's got his past with him as well. Like, dude, seeing those guys back in there and in a setting like this, like, that could not be a more perfect place for the Machidas to fight. And then, like, we talked about with what we saw with Ben and Anthony, man, like you said, when you take that ground game out to where it's not a factor, but these guys are still being able to throw kicks, and then it's got a whole new innovation with the sidewall and stuff, especially for guys like that like to throw the crazy stuff. And then, like you said, you being able to fight, you know, and having the MMA background like you do as well, even just straight up, you know, beat people up, you know, once you get them up against the side. I just like that it makes a total different way and look of fighting. But I got to tell you, I got to get your thoughts and don't bullshit me. What are your thoughts on GSP on commentary?
I'm unimpressed with your performance. I will never say a bad word. I will never say a bad word. He is the greatest that has ever been. There's not a close second. It is him, and he is just up there. And that he can commentate in English, being his second language as well as he does, is just, I absolutely adore him. And then I got to meet him once, too, and that was just a dream come true.
Can't argue that. J-Bone, how are you feeling on the GSP commentary? I'm not hating on it at all because he'd still whoop my ass. Listen,
I can't do it better, but, you know, the guy's a legend, man. We're going to let him do whatever he wants and he's going to get away with it. So anything that touches MMA, martial arts, or anything like that, GSP is welcome. I'm in my book.
Dude, so talk to me about the kickback setup for Karate Combat on this. Again, we talk about, like, the difference in their setups for fights, but, man, this is about to be, like, this is going to be, like, Never Back Down brought to life. Like, you got, like, a big-ass party. This time it just so happens to be in Mexico with the pit in the middle. Like, dude, I'm saying this with, like, the best intentions. Like, I loved that movie as a kid, and I feel like... That's like, this is what that reminds me of, but I feel like it's a total different vibe. But for you going into fight week, does it change anything for you? Is it just another fight?
It's just another fight. I look forward to the excitement that's going to be brought to it. When I fought in the Dominican Republic, we fought in the Coliseum. It was like, I literally fought in the Coliseum in the Dominican Republic. It was just the intensity that that live crowd brought to it. It was just memorable, to say the least. This time, so originally the fight was supposed to be on the 22nd, Friday the 22nd. They canceled it, pushed it back one day. They pushed it back a day so they could have it on the beach. This kickback too, on March 23rd, where I get my hand raised, you know, and still, is going to be on the beach in the Gulf of Mexico. I am so stoked to be able to say I fought on the beach in the Gulf of Mexico. They're just making dreams come true.
Okay, so you got to tell me, since you're in Mexico, after the fight, since we're talking about you still got weight to cut, what's the first thing we're at eating after you get out of there? Because there's going to be some bomb-ass Mexican food.
Oh, so street tacos. They're going to be everywhere. We went on a walk today, my wife and I. We're just seeing everything. We're figuring out where we're going to cut weight, doing all that. And the street tacos, they are everywhere, and I am getting all of them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, baby. Talk about gaining some weight.
Look here, I got Crohn's disease, and if I ever make it to Mexico, I have every intention of like eating everything, even though it might not be in my best interest. I have to let my taste buds try some of these things, dude. But speaking of trying things, bro, we've gotta talk about, you know, it keeps coming up in the comments, Jesus Christ. So you gotta tell me, bro, did you ever get Russ to pay up on his bet on drinking his piss, dude? Because I keep seeing this video of you doing a cameo, and my buddy fucking shout out to Ryan in the comments. He's like, you gotta ask him if he ever made Russ pay up on the bet. So please, can you give us the backstory of this? And did Russ ever pay up on said bet?
No, that Russ, he left the group even. I got invited into this real big MMA group on Facebook, and they sent me a message, hey, Russ made a bet that if, who is it? That he, I don't even remember.
Usman. If Usman lost, he would drink piss.
Yes. He said, I'm going to drink my own piss.
Wait, he was going to drink his own piss or somebody else's piss?
He lost, and he didn't drink it. We have been riding him for, 2 years now, and Russ, that's son of a gun. He left the group. He has abandoned it. All of his MMA fandom. It should haunt him forevermore.
Wait, it was his own piss, Kyle?
From what I understand, he said he was going to drink his own piss. Now,
that's not better than anybody else's piss, but holy crap.
I mean, dude, to be fair, I mean, since we're talking about fighting, I mean, I grew up with boxing first. I remember seeing Juan Manuel Marquez and all those guys over there drink their own piss, which I don't care what anybody said. I don't care if you tell me it was going to help me with my weight cut. I don't care if you tell me that it was going to like give me all these antioxidants. I'm good on it. I'm not drinking my own piss. To each his own. But I mean, paying up on a bet. I mean, J-Bone knows about paying up on bets. Yeah. He still never did his tequila shoey either.
I'd rather drink tequila than piss.
But you didn't pay up on the shoey either. Joel Bateman's been waiting for 2 years for you to pay up.
We're going to get it. I ain't worried about it.
Yeah, he's full of shit. Hey, yo, what up, Cody, in the comments, man. But another thing I wanted to talk to you about, what did winning the Karate Combat Heavyweight Championship mean for you? Because, like, to have, like you said, to be getting out of the UFC like that and then have your fight for B2 and then come into the promotion and then now you're back on the champion on the championship trail, does that give you, like, a mindset of kind of like a vindication of sorts where you look at the UFC or anywhere else you fought, like, look, I can still do this?
It really does. It's, you know, I didn't finish in the UFC on the greatest of streaks. However, if you look at those fights, I think I won more than I lost. The judges disagree. To be able to come back from the losses that I took and become, I'm the greatest karateka in the world. And if you can't argue otherwise right now, I have proven it. They have put the other champions against me and I've beaten them. I am the greatest karateka in the world. And to be able to bounce back in just over a year and become a world champion again, my team, my wife, my family, my God, without them, I would have had none of them.
I love that, dude. Always love the shouts out to your faith and all that stuff as well. But I got to ask you about your opponent. But before we get to asking about your opponent, man, I got to tell you about our other sponsors over at Mitten Muay Thai, which if you guys are around, you've got to check out the action, as you can see here, because, dude, May 3rd, it's going down at the Imperial House. Somebody's getting knocked the fuck out. Get your tickets now. Make sure you check this out. If you're a fan of Karate Combat, which if you're watching this, I'm sure you enjoy the kicking of people's heads and fisticuffs and all those things. Make sure you check that out. The Imperial House, May 3rd. And hey, they're going to let me be on commentary again, so you never know what the hell is going to happen on the mic with that said, dude.
GSP is going to be listening. You better do it.
Yeah,
I'm with it, man. Let's go. I want all the shots, you know?
He's speaking gonna be critiquing of you.
Come on. Let's go. I'm with it. Come on, man. Because, I've been getting to dabble my feet a little bit into the MMA commentary world. And I know you're a pro wrestling guy. Shout out to UCW. I made my pro wrestling commentary debut last weekend with D'Lo Brown from the Nation of Domination. So let's go.
Oh, cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, man. Hell of a way to jump your way into pro wrestling commentary. Right. Shout out to UCW and Whip for putting that together. And I'm back on the MMA fights April 13th and April 27th, man. So we're getting at it. So
yeah, congratulations.
I'm
appreciate it, man. Congratulations are in order to you, first of all, with what you're talking about. But back to the business at hand, bro. We got to talk a little bit about your opponent, man. Talk to me about Mr. Arroyo. What are your thoughts on this matchup, and how does Smiling Sam stack up?
Dude kicks like a truck. Like, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to lose round one. He's going to come out and kick the car out of me round one. I'm going to figure him out by round two, and it's going to be all good. But don't bet on a first-round knockout. He kicks, and he kicks, and he kicks, and they come from every angle. He is primarily orthodox, but he does just as well southpaw. He's just a guy that was built for this sport, and I get to show him I'm built for it more. It's going to be kicking versus punching. People complained about me. My last fight, I didn't kick once. I'm going to change it this time. I've been working on some stuff. A tornado kick, Sam, is what they're going to call me at the end of this fight. But for now, I mean, the basic game plan is I got to hit him in mid-kick.
I love it. You're talking tornado kicks. I mean, you can always do the old bounce off the side of the pit there, hit him with a missile drop kick, bro. I'm telling you, it's guaranteed.
I think it would work. I think it would. I think it is destined to happen.
That's one way to utilize the pit, huh?
I just saw a video speaking of UFC and UFC Fight Pass, dude, I just saw a clip that they posted from the other day where I forgot who it was that was fighting Butterbean, but he took a running jump, drop kick, like fucking two or three times in a row. So, I mean, if it worked for him and he armbarred Butterbean, it might just help you keep that heavyweight title, bro. I'm just trying to help you out.
I'm going to remember that. I'm going to go Google that. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to study it. I got like 4 days to figure it out, and it'll happen.
Hell yeah. I love it. Well, with that being said, dude, you know, we also talked about how we know that you're a little bit of a wrestling fan, so you got to tell me, bro, have you been keeping up with the road to WrestleMania and the return to The Rock and all that good stuff, man?
Yeah, it's time for the story to end. It is time for the story to end. Cody Rhodes has got this. I love The Rock. He's fantastic on that microphone. Especially, they tried to make him a face. They tried to make him a hero. They turned. It just didn't take. They put him hard heel, and he is just owning it. He is so good with that heel. So I've been loving it. I can't wait to see it. I like what they're doing with the tag team match on the first night. And then the second night is, you know, the main event. Aiden, I'm so excited to watch it. I love WrestleMania. I love The Rock. And to get to... I'm interested in seeing how he performs. I hope he doesn't get hurt because he is getting older.
You're not kidding. And everybody was busting his balls because he was blew up when he first came back. But with that said, man, you talk about that tag match on night one. So you got to tell me, do you think Cody and Seth are going to get it done, or are we getting bloodline rules on night two?
We're going to get bloodline rules. They're going to lose the tag match. If they lose the tag match, the stakes are so much higher, especially Rock is an owner. Rock can decide if Cody ever gets the title shot again. And they're going to lose the tag match, but he's going to come in bruised and battered and put an end to the story.
I'm with it, dude. I think we've been talking about this for a while, but with the way that they're setting up this tag match, I'm not going to hold you up. Part of me just feels like Cody and them got to lose night one, because otherwise you wouldn't have like threatened the whole bloodline rules thing. But it's like, if they're going to lose, it's how do they lose?
Yeah.
Because my whole thing is, I feel like somehow Seth's got to lose, even though it sucks because he's the world champion, or maybe Seth cost Cody in the first place. You know, who knows? But I don't know, man. I feel like we could definitely see a change from Seth Rollins, because even though I think the fans love the song and all that stuff, I think at this point, we can all agree in this window, J-Bone, you're more than welcome to give your thoughts too, but I feel like Seth Rollins is such a better heel, bro. And I feel like it's just going to make it all the better when Cody tries to win on night two. Sad part of it is I'm still not convinced that he's going to win, though.
Yeah, I'm not. But no, Kyle, I mean, we've been fantasy booking this thing for weeks, but we're forgetting somebody in this whole equation. Seth's opponent at WrestleMania for the world title. We're forgetting about Drew McIntyre. There's no reason Drew would have no reason to mess with Seth in this match, right? So maybe he's the one that causes the whole breakdown and we get the bloodline rules the next night. It would add a bit of a layer to that world title match. So it's all kind of coming together. But that's just fantasy booking. I don't know. The cool thing is we don't know, right?
You know, the bloodline has been such a force in WWE for so long. and they've pissed a lot of people off in the WWE, you know, the wrestlers. Mm-hmm. I could see Bloodline Rules and a lot of people from that roster coming out to defend Cody as he has the match.
Sure.
And I think that would just be amazing to see.
Yeah. That would be like, I'd be going like, back to the old WWF days, man, when the face wins and everybody comes out. Remember they put Luger on the shoulders when he beat Yokozuna by like a count out at SummerSlam? It was like ridiculous. Yeah. But like, well, yeah.
Especially with remember how Dusty went out when he won that match and never really got the title. If you remember, if you look at the picture, you got Dusty up on the corner, you know, lifting the title and all this, and they had the big grand thing for him going out of Madison Square Garden. So I could totally see that. But my whole thing is this. If we're going to do Bloodline Rules and we're saying that that's what's going to happen on night two, I want to see, like, I want to see, I mean, I understand they said Afa has been sick and been dealing with some stuff, but as many of them that you can get out there, I want Afa and Sika out there. I want fucking Rikishi out there. Like, especially with the Usos fighting in the show too. I want all them motherfuckers out there. Like, I feel like the more of them, the better. And I feel like with the whole Bloodline vibe of it, I just feel like that would make it even cooler. Plus, I mean, look, I know you've had to pick up on this too, Sam, but dude, I feel like there's a little dissension between The Rock and Roman when you really look at it. And I feel like even though he's saying, I acknowledge you and all this shit.
I couldn't believe he said it.
See?
Yeah, I couldn't even.
I couldn't believe it. It just not. I mean, in The Rock's movies, he's not allowed to lose a fight. In The Rock's movies, he and Vin Diesel have to be equal going into the decision. And for him to come on and say, yeah, you're it. Oh, I couldn't believe it.
And did you peep like the little stuff, how he didn't hold up the one finger? He had like his was like this. And then even when he did it, like you can see Paul Heyman like cringing in the background. Like he feels like some shit's going to happen. I mean, bro, I feel like that Bloodline Rules. I feel like you're going to have everybody out there. And I could see a scenario where Roman tries to win like he always does. And then Solo or whoever tries to go in and The Rock stops him or whatever the fuck. And then Cody ends up beating him. But I'm just saying, I feel like somehow or another, the whole Bloodline thing has got to play in here. I tell you, either way, there's so much good stuff there. I'm really looking on the low key end of it, man. I feel like that match between the Usos. Who the fuck would ever thought that they were going to fight each other? And then we're getting that at WrestleMania. They said that's only the third time you've ever had two brothers fight each other at WrestleMania.
Oh, who were the other two?
You had Brett and Owen, and then had the Hardy brothers fought each other at 25.
Really? Oh, yeah, I wouldn't have
got and both bangers. Brett and
Okay.
So you know they've been planning this since they were like 5 years old, right? So you know this is going to be a good one.
Yeah.
You know it's going to be a good match.
Well, dude, down to the fact they're doing the yeet versus no yeet shit and all that too, man.
Yeah.
That's gonna be great. Royal Rumble is my favorite event of the year, as is most people. This WrestleMania is boiling up to be real. I mean, two nights. I've never looked forward to two nights before. I look forward to both nights now.
I'm gonna watch both nights. I'm just going to throw this out there. Look, I'm not trying to put any bad juju on this, but being the last time that we were in a city like Philly for WrestleMania was when New York happened, and we got fucking poured on, and that was when it was still 8 hours long. So the fact that it's two nights, too, love that, too, because
night, wasn't it?
Yes, it was 8 hours. I was in a suit. We got fucking poured on. Ronda and Becky and them were in the main event and didn't even get in the ring till like midnight and shit. It was it was a long ass day. So I love the fact that it's a 2 day show. It's gonna be sweet. And dude, I gotta get your thoughts on this. Did you see Shayna Baszler is gonna be in Bloodsport?
No, I didn't.
Yes, dude.
I didn't know they were remaking Bloodsport.
No, so that's Josh Barnett's show. It's through GCW. It's one of the indie shows. And so now they managed to get like I said, with Shayna being in WWE, her getting to do that, like the WrestleMania weekend too, it's wild. It's got her in there, Masha Slamovich. You got our friend Lindsay Snow, who will be joining us next week. You've got a lot of them, but the fact that WWE is allowing her to do some stuff like that and in a setting like that, because it's basically like, that's why it looks like Bloodsport too. They're fighting on like the old school match. You had Moxley and all them guys are fighting in there. I think Shayna being in there is dope.
Oh, perfect fit.
Yeah, I hadn't heard anything about it, but I'll take your word for it.
Hell yeah, man. It's going to be a good one. We just got the chat, whether you said Royal Rumble, we got to chat with them thanks to WWE. So I'm definitely looking forward to get to some more of that. But we've had you on here for a little bit. I don't want to hold you up with what you got going on with getting ready with weight cuts and all those things. Before I let you get out of here and give you your last words for your opponent, you got to tell me. I know you watch all the fights. One of our past guests of the show is in the main event of said fight. Do you got a pick for UFC 300 between Jamahal Hill and Alex Pereira?
It should be Jamahal Hill.
That's Alex, it.
I think Alex Pereira is very talented, super great, awesome. I think he's the most overrated champion in the UFC. He has no ground. He has no wrestling. He has no jiu-jitsu. I felt he lost to Jan too. They both gasped, but I still thought Jan won. People keep saying, "Oh, I'm going to stand with him." Why? Why stand with him when you have an easy out? Just take him down. You can finish him easy.
I like it. He's picking our guy Jamahal Hill from here in the mitten. You know we're a little partial to that one.
He's not wrong. I mean, why stand and bang with a guy that knocks everybody out, right?
The only problem is, though, Jamahal likes to stand and bang, though. He's not gonna want to take him down. That's what makes it great for us as fans. But, I mean, let's be honest. Do you really think that Jamahal Hill is going to try to take him down? I feel like they're going to meet in the middle and bang it out until somebody falls.
Here's a headline for you guys. I put it out there the other day. I think if I were to fight Alex Pereira, I would win. And now that's saying something huge. And I think I would beat him, let's say, kickboxing fight. Everybody will laugh at me for saying it. I do well in those kind of fights. I do well against big guys. I do well against kickboxers. I think I beat him. And now every fighter says, I could beat every other fighter. I've watched every one of his fights. I think I beat him. And I got so much shit online for saying that the other day. and I deserve it. I understand I am not a two-weight class UFC champion. I understand it is ridiculous for me to think that. But I do. Deep down, I do.
I don't know that I'm Jamahal Hill.
I like it, dude. I mean, look, that's honesty. And something, you know this better than anybody, dude. I mean, you know the old saying, like, styles make matchups. It would be interesting if it's something like that, dude.
I do well in those kind of fights. I have such a – I call it a lazy striking style where it's fast for me, slow. I think I win it. I do. I don't think he touches me.
Hell, yeah. You heard it here. That's the way you need to that's what we need to book in the fantasy book. But speaking of the books that are going to happen, man, I want to hear Smiling Sam's last words for his opponent, but I know that you mess with the pro wrestling thing. So I'll leave the floor open to you. You got to let us know your last thoughts for your opponent. Tell us how everything's going to go down March 23rd for Karate Combat, bro.
Listen, Arroyo. Listen. You say you want my belt. You will not touch my belt. You will be able to see the belt from across the ring. You will not touch my belt. You will want my belt. You will try to get my belt. You will not touch my belt. I will send you home with a pair of suspenders. That was lame. I'll send you home with a pair of suspenders to keep your pants up. But you will never touch my belt.
I love it. Get your suspenders ready. Make sure you have your bets ready. Make sure you have a drink or two ready. And make sure you check out Karate Combat March 23rd. And check out our guy, Smiling Sam. Bring the belt home and all that good stuff. Shout out to our sponsors, Mitten Muay Thai. Make sure you check them out May 3rd. Shout out to Potter's Tree Service. Don't call Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Call Asa Potter at Potter's Tree Service. Tell him we sent you. And until next time and in the in-between time, man, we appreciate y'all for checking us out. Sam, let them know where they can find you at.
Yeah, I'm at Smiling Sam. You see my username here on the screen. I'm at Smiling Sam on everything. Follow me on YouTube. That's the one I'm growing right now, and I'm having a lot of fun with it.
Hell yeah. I was going to say, man, I've been checking out the YouTube. Make sure you check out his YouTube. Make sure if you're new here, make sure you hit that. We already got comments about the suspenders. Now he has to wear suspenders to the fucking pit.
That's what I'm talking about.
If you wear suspenders to the pit, all I got to say is please just shut out Knockouts and Three Counts. All the more reason that you got to check out Karate Combat March 23rd. I need to be in Mexico Until next time and in the in-between time, hit that button. Peace.